Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 11th of May. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Stacey Eads.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again.
Great to see you too, Brian.
Really?
Hard to say.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You might have a shot at this one. I'm not sure.
Oh, please don't set me up.
All right. Perhaps you have a shot in the dark that'll work on this one. Wisdom teeth. Why are they called wisdom teeth?
I should know this one, in theory, because of my family background. I have no idea. Is it because they come in later? I don't know.
That's where I would have guessed. Yeah, and those of us that have had them pulled, it explains many things. Lack of wisdom.
I still have one left. I actually only had one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, way to go.
Fascinating. No. We evolved.
Among the ancient Greeks, it became proverbial that no youth would cut his third molars until inducted into manhood. Because adults made the rules, they considered themselves wiser than boys and girls. Since third molars marked the transition into adulthood, they automatically meant increased wisdom. Formal rites of passage were abandoned long ago, and most persons in the modern Western world know there's no connection between wise and teeth. But the ancient Greek title for tooth of knowledge remains in universal use. That's why molars that seldom appear before adolescence are still called wisdom teeth.
That makes me feel like I should keep my remaining wisdom tooth.
Well, or you could have a big ceremony and give it a name or something.
Put it in a container. Save it.
Well, everybody seems to be talking about budgets, and this is your first rodeo with a budget. How's it going?
It's going really well, actually. It's a fun learning process for me. I'd had some exposure in prior years, but certainly I'm having to get much more in depth with it. And so it's interesting. It's fun to kind of learn a new area and see where we can potentially tighten our belts and help save the county some money, but continue to serve the public as we need to do. So it's it certainly presents a number of challenges, but we'll take it as it comes.
I think you're the first one that's ever said it's fun.
Look at what I do for a living. Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think each of the supervisors had said unfilled positions are going to be where most of the budget reduction figure will come from. Is that true for your office too?
Well, right now we have a number of unfilled positions. We've been, you know, actively recruiting and bringing folks in and working to retain those whom we have. That's been an ongoing process and sort of as it's sort of impacted every business, whether it's private or government entities. So those openings are there. The challenge is we certainly have work that needs to be done and we need the people to do that work. So, you know, it's a little bit concerning that those positions, may potentially be jeopardized, in terms of meeting public safety needs. I think it's imperative that our positions are, protected. I understand that, you know, with that commentary from the Board of Supervisors' perspective, it makes sense. I appreciate that there's only so much money to go around, but naturally, I do think that public safety should be our number one priority.
You're not going out far on that limb when you say that. I'm sure that was, you know, when you were out politicking last year also, that people were kind of referencing that fact also. Not having those positions filled, is it kind of like business as normal? Rather, I say that because a lot of the supervisors have said, yeah, the workload shifts into the existing staff and it's kind of tough and da da da. But if that's kind of been the norm for the last little bit, yeah, maybe the load doesn't get lightened and maybe the volume doesn't increase. But is it seen as a that much of a negative by the existing staff?
Well, I'll go ahead and be pretty frank about this. I mean, calling it the norm, it's really not an acceptable norm. So it's folks that really care about the work that they're doing, and they're putting in the extra mile, working long hours, taking on a significant caseload. You know, and that's not just directed towards the attorneys within the office, but support staff too. You know, helping one another out. I'm incredibly proud of the office as it stands, and I really see a lot of true teamwork from the heart with all members of the district attorney's office working hard to help each other out. But you know, it's not fair to expect that for the long term. So sure, we can do that for the short period of time, knowing that help is on the way. And I do believe help is on the way, and so we're going to keep marching forward and proud. We're a small but mighty team, but yes, I don't want people to get burnt out.
What gives you that positive sense about the future, that this is a short term? Steve Madrone was in yesterday, and he said, well, it could be four to six years. That's kind of what he is seeing with this kind of lull in revenue.
Sure, that's him looking at the numbers and the county as a whole and the various departments and the reality that perhaps, you know, some cuts are going to have to be made and some priorities are going to have to be really scrutinized. But again, I am going to continue to advocate for the fact that public safety within the county of Humboldt is our number one priority. Without a sense of safety and true safety and accountability for the criminal activities within the community, we have nothing else.
You must have been really excited when the budget came in for the new jail expansion then, huh? And the whoops.
Those were shocking numbers.
Yeah.
Everything's gone
Talk
up.
Talk about
so,
succinct.
You know.
Yeah. I floated an idea yesterday.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads. As you're preparing the budget and going through that process, do you worry about what optimal would be and then try to figure out how to get there? Or do you look at the dollars and say, what's the best application of these resources?
I think it's really a combination thereof. You know, there are a few things that are long-term goals and even, you know, statutory mandates that are brought down from the legislature for us to do and things to implement within the office. And and so how we can go about that without a funding source to make those new obligations and tasks, many of which are, you know, well-intended and great ideas and things that would bring us further into the really, frankly, the present and in the future. But how we will add to what we're already doing is a bit of a tough spot to be in. So trying to plan for those changes, I'm very optimistic that we will be able to continue to focus on the most serious and violent offenses and prosecute those cases. We've been getting cases out to trial. We've had some very good outcomes with our trials. And Again, I'm very grateful for the hard work that our staff is doing.
Your department really isn't on an island. Everybody's kind of connected together. If the judges are comped by the state, right?
They're state, yes.
Right. Is there support staff also?
Yes.
So they're immune to the budget challenges that are going on in the county.
Right.
At the state, yeah. With the other departments, whether it's probation or some of the law enforcement agencies, with their budget challenges, can you project what that means to your department, or do you just focus on your department specifically or exclusively?
Well, of course, I take into consideration other departments and potential impacts and the fact that there's only so much money to go around. And I do think that it's imperative that the other departments, such as the Sheriff's Office, Probation Department, that those entities are likewise well-funded so that they can continue to engage in the essential services to provide public safety to the community. So without probation officers out on the streets engaging in supervision of individuals who have been placed on probation, that opens the door necessarily to further violations and potentially criminal conduct. Likewise, to have to reduce the number of officers out on patrol or staff within the correctional facility, support staff for the sheriff, those things will have immediate impacts on the daily lives of everyone within the community. So it's a real thing. So when folks call 911, we want there to be a response.
In Billy's perfect world, he's fully staffed. Okay, so let's say that happens. I know you love playing the what ifs. He's fully staffed.
Okay.
You're at the same level you are now. So the amount of work goes up, let's say 20%. The filings and bad guys being caught and that kind of stuff. I guess, and bad girls too. Well, how does that play out? If they become more efficient and your department can't expand your labor pool to adjust, is that a good thing?
I think it's a good thing. Yeah, absolutely. I would never begin to make a representation that, I would rather have less law enforcement so we have less reports coming in, because it doesn't mean that the crimes aren't happening, that the victims aren't out in the community. So, no, I want us to serve the community. So it's like if for whatever reason, an influx of higher level of referrals comes our way, we will absolutely work through those. And that's what we've been doing. And so I think that, we will continue to do that. But again, I think it's also really important that, the staff within the office have the, ability to have good, high quality lives and have personal time and take vacations and not have to work every single weekend and late nights and early mornings, which is what they do.
I know you talk to your other DAs. Mendocino, we keep hearing, is in a far worse situation than what Humboldt is. Are there some, I hate to say tricks of the trade, but I'll use the phrase anyway, that have been implemented in other counties that haven't been as financially stable, that you're kind of looking at and maybe adopting or adjusting and considering applying here?
Well, we have had the benefit within the county to have a number of county, leadership trainings, and part of that has been training in terms of budgets and how to approach the budget and really looking at the county as a whole. So I'm appreciative of that information and that education and learning ways that we can work together to achieve the goals that the county needs to fulfill and meet. So I think in that context, we are getting information, learning from experiences, from other counties, but really working on the details that I have to address here in our county has been my priority.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads. So, other than budget, how's life?
Life is good. Life is good. It's been busy, and I would definitely say that, just as I've already kind of been expressing this morning, that we've gotten some good cases out to jury. And, you know, I'm also really, you know, I have to do a little bit of a shout out to the community at large that we've had what seems to have been a much improved juror involvement in terms of folks returning for their and serving for jury duty. So I think that you know, from kind of my perspective, it seems to have improved greatly. I haven't heard from my attorneys that, you know, that they're having to select from smaller groups, which was, you know, happening to us a few weeks back. So that's, you know, I'm really appreciative of that and people standing up and doing their service. So, you know, thank you to the folks that do come in for jury duty and help us keep justice where it needs to be. So I'm appreciative of that. You know, we've also, you know, we recently had a guilty verdict in a murder trial. So that was a very positive outcome, definitely the right one. Likewise, a stalking case just went to jury trial and returned with a guilty verdict. And those are
stalking,
yeah. And those are tough cases to prove in terms of the elements of those crimes. And of course, it was certainly there. And so, again, thankful to the jury for taking the time and working through that.
How do you, unless, I mean, if there's murder, there's some tangibility to it. If there's burglary, there's tangibility to it. Stalking, is it like footprints or fingerprints?
Well, yeah, no, you're right. And that's kind of part of it is like how do you assess an individual's, you know, behavior and get into their mind and, you know, ultimately make a determination that there's these repeated contacts and within that there's some sort of threat of harm. And so you have to kind of delve into what the intent and get into the mind of the offender. So how does one prove that? Oftentimes, you know, frankly, in today's world, electronic data can be very helpful. And so we can learn a lot by looking into, you know, via a lawful search order. Search warrant, of course, into cell phone records, calls that are made, where an individual might have been traveling, pictures that he or she might have taken, things along those lines. In addition, of course, to the firsthand observations of the victim.
So technology almost makes that easier than, say, 30 years ago.
Potentially, yes.
Well, okay, potentially. Okay, fine. Yeah, those universal statements get thrown out the window, don't they?
There are no absolutes.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Is stalking a common charge or a common issue that you deal with?
It's not a common charge, I would say, and thankfully so. you know, it's not necessarily something that we see that terribly often. But when we do, of course, it's of very serious nature. And it's interesting or really just sad to think of the impact that being stalked has on the individual. It really puts people in a place where they kind of become a prisoner within their own lives, and, you know, afraid to go to the store, afraid to just do those basic things. If you have a stalker that shows up at your place of work or your school or perhaps your relatives' residences and things along those lines, and you just don't know where. And that's just, you know, a terrible way to have to live, to think that this that your stalker might show up at any point in place and time within your life. And
so it's more than far more than just unsettling.
Far more than that, yes.
It just another one of those epiphanies. Just are there.
Yeah, and sometimes the stalker has, you know, actually injured the individual, or and it can also be sort of like confusing to assess as well, because the stalker might present on one level as having, you know, an innocent intent, that they're just really fond of the target, and but then it might become a whole other level where they're then have, you know, veiled threats, or there's something, you know, I just want to take you away with me, and then it heightens, and that's just very, very terrifying for the victim.
Is it always guys chasing gals, or does it go the other way also?
I don't think there are any absolutes or always.
Okay, how about a majority?
But I can say, and again, there aren't that many that come our way, but of those that I've reviewed, I would say most have been with a male as the alleged offender.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Stacey.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Stacey Eadsworth. You trying to make some noise. You're setting your phone down so slowly.
Well,
it was,
yes.
Like, unless you don't want to break it, I suppose that would be legitimate.
Then I did not want to make a noise. I was trying to be discreet.
Nah. Too sophisticated for this show. So, after the budget, what does the year look like for the DA's office? Are there things you're excited about, or is it just continue on? Or soldier on, I guess is the phrase.
I think, frankly, it's nonstop excitement at the DA's office. I'm, you know, looking forward to doing some significant case reviews. We've had a number of
What does case review mean?
Reviewing files for potential charges. So some of that type of work, getting back to perhaps reaching out to some community members and engaging some of those entities that I want to do a little more outreach with. We've done a fair amount of outreach with the community, but I think that there's always room for a lot more. And I really enjoy that, like getting out and speaking with folks, and also having a little more involvement within the court, in the court proceedings, and assist, you know, a little bit in terms of addressing some of the cases. So I look forward to that as well.
You mean getting to play lawyer?
Getting back to, playing lawyer a bit. So that's, I love that, of course. And so, you know, I think that, you know, I think it was last week, everything's a bit of a blur, but I was able to go out to Hoopaw and the chairman had invited myself as well as Sheriff Hansel. We were there. I was more of an audience member, but I did have an opportunity to speak a little bit with the community members regarding the opioid crisis and just to really hear about the daily concerns and the real life concerns in terms of the impact that opioids and in particular looking at fentanyl in light of its extremely high overdose and toxicity levels. So I think those are really important issues, and I want to spend more time in addressing that and really, you know, assessing what we can do to address this epidemic within our community. It's real. According to Sheriff Hansel, we've already had here in 2023 80 overdose deaths. And that's not to say how many actual overdoses where the individual was able to survive. But just in 2023, 80 deaths. And looking at 2022, which had risen exponentially as well, there were 70 for that entire year. And it was a much lower number in 2021. So
it's really a spike
considering that, yeah, we're now just, you know, mid-May in 2023 and we've already exceeded the number of deaths from 2022. It's terrifying. And then the number of cases that I'm reviewing where I see possession of fentanyl, it's in almost every drug possession case or drug sales case, fentanyl pops up. And it's extremely alarming. I am very concerned about the welfare of our community and potential exposure of fentanyl to children. It's a real issue. And so we as a community really need to come together and figure out how we're going to address this and protect one another.
The little ones, yeah. Is the demand that high for drugs? And it's being put into the drugs, or are people specifically looking for whatever fentanyl does for you, other than kill you? That's what they're seeking it out. Is it a demand thing, or is it kind of the supply side inserting this stuff in there so that their product, I guess, gets better reviews, for lack of a better term?
Well, I think there are different theories in terms of how we've gotten to where we currently are. And I'm, you know, I would suspect that it's a combination of suppliers having introduced fentanyl to users and folks that struggle with addiction, and then there becomes a dependency, and so now, yes, they're so sadly seeking it out, and it's hard to comprehend because the risk is so high. Even if an individual is a regular user, the smallest amount just, you know, can ultimately lead to their death. And I personally don't understand it, but I do see it that we can't ignore this, and we have to take action.
Obviously, it's more than a law enforcement public safety issue. It's a community one. Is there any source point that can start this conversation? Now, if you get all the badges there, okay, it's another something that law enforcement is promulgating. The churches and community service entities, and I realize it's got to be everybody, but who's the lead dog on this one?
Well, I think that there doesn't need to be necessarily a lead dog, but it really does. It's a matter of education, prevention, you know, and response. And so I think that it's a it really will take a community approach, and obviously the schools and education system. So, in educating, you know, our kids what to look out for and be very careful about what they put in their bodies.
It kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Thanks for coming by. Leaving on a high note. Well, no, okay, wait a minute.
Yeah, let's
See everybody tomorrow.